Welcome to the Faith for All podcast. This week, we will be listening to a sermon from Pastor Dana O'Brien's sermon series on the book of James. This series ran in January and February 2024. We hope you enjoy this message and that it offers some meaning for your life.
You can stay seating. The reading is a bit on the long side. And I wanted to point out, we had a really cool conversation on our Facebook page a week or so ago about our songs. People are always interested in why we sing secular songs here. And many of the secular songs we sing have themes that are really Christ-centered, and they're really important. And I love it when we sing a song here that's Christ-centered, and then you guys hear it later in your car radio or in a mall or at home, and you go, wow, you know, I heard that in worship. Maybe I should start thinking about that differently. We have a new singer in our band. That raises our group to 10. and sometimes our songs are progressive. That's what's happening today. The first couple songs reflect not what we should be doing with our words, like gossiping and lying. And then as the service continues, we'll hear the sermon, and then we'll start hearing what we should be doing with our words. And so the secular songs come in both cases. I'm sure you all figured that out before and knew about the progressive name. What happened? Did you scare her away? Okay. Apparently. That's what I like, a woman who knows what she wants. All right, our reading is from James, and I'm going to start in chapter 1, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter 3. Starting at verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from God above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And jumping over to chapter 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Those are some nice uplifting words from James today. So he doesn't speak softly. He just carries a big stick. Okay, now, I bet that we can all remember something that has been spoken to us, some word of encouragement or affirmation, something that had a big impact, even though it may have happened long time ago. Maybe something that even changed the trajectory of our lives, right? Okay, I'm sure we can all think of something that somebody said to us that made a big difference. Equally, I'm pretty certain that we can all remember something that we've said to someone that we really regret. That we know really, really hurt that person and would love to have been able to take back, which of course is impossible because, you know, and we know this, you can apologize all you want, but once you say something, those words are out there and they stay there. We know this. Words are powerful. Words are powerful for good or for bad. They can be life-giving or they can be just destructive, okay? As you can tell from the reading, James also knows the power of words. And today we're going to look at what James has to say about how Christians should speak and again, shouldn't speak. And this is really important to remember, you guys, because when James was talking, he didn't have to worry about this. But everything James says about how we speak in person also applies to how we communicate on social media, okay? So even if you don't say anything bad to somebody, think about what you write, okay? As you can tell from our reading, James doesn't mince his own words, okay? When he calls us out, he calls us right out on how we speak. So settle in, because this could be a little bumpy ride, okay? But first, a quick reminder of where we've been so far. And it's only 1 week, so it's a quick reminder. Last week we started to look at this letter from James, who is, remember, Jesus' brother, and who was the head of the Jerusalem church, and he was writing to Jewish Christians that were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. Now, James' primary concern throughout this letter is how followers of Jesus then and now live a life of integrity, okay? A life of where what we do, how we live, matches with what we say we believe. Easier said than done. And James does that by focusing on two primary questions. The first question is, who is God? And the second question is, who are we? What does it mean to live as a disciple of Jesus in the midst of this complicated world? Now, the first question, who is God? That's what we looked at last week, okay? And remember, James was writing to people who were experiencing persecution, trials. They were hurt. And so that's the context in which James explored the character of God. And that makes perfect sense, right? Because when things are bad, when things are hard, when things are not going at all as we had hoped, that's when you really need to know who God is, right? You need to know where God is in light of what's happening in your life and in your world, okay? So James tells us. James tells us. James says, God is right here. God is right here in the middle of the suffering that you're going through. And God isn't going anywhere, okay? Moreover, God isn't just stagnant in your suffering. God is working. God is working to speak God's words of resurrection and new life. God is working to redeem it. God is working to bring something good out of the trial that you're dealing with, okay? That's who our God is. In the hardest times of our lives, God is with us, assuring us that suffering is not God's last word, okay? And that's really powerful. Then James addresses the next question. Who are we? How do we live as Jesus' disciples in this world? And that's what he explores throughout the remainder of the letter, and that's where we start today. So in verses 17 and 18, which I just read, James transitions from who God is, the giver of every perfect gift, to who we are. And he reminds us that we are the first fruits of God's creation, okay? The first fruits. Now, I hope that you hear it a lot. We talk about God's kingdom all the time here, okay? The kingdom that was inaugurated in Jesus, the kingdom that is not fully present yet, but is coming. And each and every day, we know that God is constantly working to bring little pieces of that kingdom to earth all around us, right? God is constantly working to bless and free and heal all of God's children, okay? We, James says, we are the first fruits of that kingdom. Those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we're the ones that are called to reflect that kingdom, to show everybody else what it looks like. So when somebody sees us, they should be seeing God's kingdom. Jesus says it a little differently, right? The famous verse is, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. But the idea in both cases is that when people see us, when people see how we live, they should be seeing God's kingdom reflected here on earth, okay? We are the first fruits. That's verse 18, chapter 1. The rest of the letter, all the remaining five chapters, is a description of what it means to be what James calls first fruits. What it means to live a life of integrity as followers of Jesus and citizens of God's kingdom in today's world. And verses 22 through 24, which I read, lay out the lens with which we will read everything else that comes today and over the next 3 weeks. And I really love this because it's got some Greek in it, okay? James commands us to be doers and not just hearers of God's word. And here James analogizes hearing but not doing to a person who looks at themselves in a mirror. Okay, you look at yourself in a mirror, and then turning away, they immediately forget what they look like. Okay, they immediately forget. Here's the key. And unfortunately, we don't pick that up in the English translation, but the message, which is what you're looking at now, and which is what I've underlined, is the closest that I can find. They turn away and they forget what they look like, okay? The Greek speaks of looking in a mirror and seeing te geneseo o tu. And geneseo, it sounds like Genesee, but it also sounds like Genesis, and that's what it is. It's a form of Genesis, which we know means our origin or our beginning, okay? We look in a mirror and see our origin. We look in the mirror and we see who God made us to be. How powerful is that? You look in the mirror and you see who God made us to be. First fruits of the kingdom. But also, we talk about it all the time, also God's masterpiece, God's beloved children. And going back even further to Genesis, our beginning, our origin, we are literally made in God's image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? So, see who you are, says James. See who you are, your God-given identity. You are God's masterpieces. You are God's image bearers. You are God's first fruit brought to life through God's word. You are God's beloved child gifted by God to reflect God's kingdom to others. That's who you are. That's who you are. But if you walk away from the mirror and you forget who you are, well, then you're that person who hears but doesn't do. You're that person whose God-given identity does not shape how you live, okay? So here it is. This is the crux of the letter. And again, everything we talk about for the next 3 weeks and the rest of today comes back to this mirror analogy. It's those who both hear Jesus' words and do them. Those are the people who live out the integrated Christian life. Those are the ones who live out who God made them to be. But if we turn away from that mirror and forget who we are, we're lost, right? And that's so true. When you forget who you are, when you forget your identity, you're lost. You're just lost as a person. And we know bad stuff happens for us and those around us when we get lost, okay? So today, we're going to look at how focus specifically on our speech and how we can either speak well or speak poorly. We can either remember who we are and speak out of our identity, or we can forget and all hell breaks loose, okay? Now, James has already encouraged us to be quick to listen, while being slow to speak and slow to anger. And then in verse 26, he warns, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Okay? Worthless, he says. Those are pretty sharp words. But James is just getting started, as you may remember. So we're going to jump over to chapter 3, where he devotes the first half of the whole chapter to the destructive nature of the untamed tongue. And then he urges us to speak in ways that reflect our identity as image bearers of God. So, with a couple of easily understood metaphors, James highlights the power of this little member, the power of the tongue. A small bit in a horse's mouth can control the entire horse, right? Small bit, big horse, you control it with just that small thing. A small rudder can direct a huge ship, right? Okay, we've got the idea here. So can the tongue wield power that is way out of line with its size, right? And then he uses a bit of hyperbole. Okay, he uses a lot of hyperbole to warn us about our inability to control our tongues. Okay, like a fire, he said, untamed tongues can be amazingly destructive. They're like restless evils. They're like deadly poison. Okay, and really, I mean, yeah, he exaggerates. Okay, but really, his comments are consistent with Jesus' words. His comments are consistent with Scripture generally. And guys, he's not telling us anything that we don't already know, right? I mean, our tongues can be really destructive. Sometimes they are even indeed full of deadly poison, okay? If you don't fit in this group, I apologize, but I'm guessing we all do. Okay, I'll speak about me. We've all done damage with our words, right? Lying, gossiping, exaggerating, insulting, belittling, judging, expressing jealousy, expressing sarcasm or pride. Some of us have more trouble with one thing or another. I hope you've heard yourself in that litany of problem areas. But we've all put people down. We've all built ourselves up at someone else's expense. We've all at one time or another ignored the fact that we are talking to people who are made in God's image, and we've been intentionally cruel with our words, right? Knowing their power. In fact, oftentimes we know just how to get at somebody. We know where they're vulnerable. We know what's really important. And we intentionally get them right there because we know it's going to hurt. We know that those words are going to be remembered long after they've been said. Okay? And now it gets worse, because it's even more difficult to control our words online, okay? They're done anonymously, right? And the fact is we're not really speaking to a face-to-face person. Often we're commenting on people we don't even know. We just kind of send it out there, right? And sometimes, and I get this, sometimes we may try and act nice. We may try and be reasonable. And then we end up on the receiving end of somebody else who's cutting and cruel words to us, right? And it's really hard not to respond in kind, isn't it? It really is. Now, James is exaggerating here, but you know, he's not off by much. Words can be poisonous. Words can do a lot of damage. Unfortunately, here's the line that really gets me, when James points out our hypocrisy. Okay? I mean, I'm feeling bad, but I'm feeling really bad. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women made in God's image. Right? You can't treat people like garbage and worship God at the same time. That's a nice, pithy way to remember this whole thing, right? It hits home this morning, okay? We're praising and worshiping God right now, right? We're all praising, all worshiping, wonderful, kind things. But before the day is out, maybe even before we make it home, maybe even before we get out of the parking lot, okay? Many of us are going to have criticized or belittled somebody else, some brother or sister made in God's image. You can hear the despair in James' voice. My friends, this can't go on. My friends, this can't go on. Instead, he says, live as the people that God says you are. Live as the God-created person you saw in the mirror. Okay, that's all he's asking us. And then he's pretty creative. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? No, of course not. Of course not. Guys, we are called to live out who God says we are, who God made us to be. We're not a mud hole. We're not a bunch of mud holes, and we need to live like cups of cool, clear water for all our neighbors. Okay, I get it. We cannot do this alone, okay? We cannot. I mean, I've already screwed up 3 or 4 times this morning, and I'm in the midst of working on a sermon for this, okay? We can't do this alone, but when we pray for God's help, and we talked about this last week, when we pray for God's wisdom, and James goes on to talk about God's wisdom in chapter 3, and we're going to get back to it not today, later. But when we pray for God's wisdom, and we pray for God's empowering grace, we can act and speak as first fruits of God's kingdom. We can reflect God's love to the rest of God's beloved children. We can change people's lives for the good by what we say. Okay? And in some cases, by what we don't say. Okay? So, a couple of suggestions. Number one, speak life-giving words. Sounds obvious, sounds easy, sounds simple, not easy at all, right? Affirm people. Encourage them. Say something positive, uplifting, and healing. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speak words that build up and encourage people based on what they need, which I thought was a really interesting, not on what you think they need, but on what they need. And remember James' earlier words, to be quick to listen and slow to speak? We're probably going to have to do a fair amount of listening, more listening to somebody first so we know exactly what it is they need to hear in order to be built up. Here's a real good suggestion. Don't say anything behind someone's face that you wouldn't say to their face, right? And that's a nice, if you're about to say something about somebody and you say, could I say it to somebody's face? And the answer is no, stop. Stop right there. Just don't say it. Just don't say it. I screwed it up already this morning, okay? Not about anybody here, about the kicker on the Green Bay team. But anyway, the point was, I wouldn't have said it to his face, so I shouldn't have said it to anybody else. Okay, the point, okay, number two. Speak those life-giving words often and to everyone, okay? You know the old saying, right? If you can't say someone nice about someone, what comes next? Don't say anything. Don't say anything at all. Well, I'm changing it. If you can't say something nice about someone, look harder until you can find something nice to say, okay? Look harder, okay? With God's wisdom, with God's grace, you can always find something nice to say, something positive to say about someone. And that includes absolutely everyone, okay? Jesus tells us to love our neighbors. Jesus also tells us to love our enemies. Can you guys imagine? Can you just imagine how different this world would be if we all walked around encouraging people and building people up with what we say, right? Now, the whole world isn't going to do that, but guys, who are we? We're the first fruits, right? So we start going around and doing it, and then other people catch on and they look and they say, hey, is this what God's kingdom looks like? Is this how Christians really act? This is what we do. This is what we're called to do. Number three. If you're having a hard time speaking words of life to people, or more likely to someone in particular, if you find yourself speaking more like a polluted mud hole, then check your heart. Check your heart. There's something deeper going on. There's something deeper. Some hurt or some wound that's messing with you and making you forget who you are, right? You need to bring it to God. You need to ask God's grace and help in dealing with what's getting in the way of your ability to be that person that God made you to be, okay? Now, to give us a little jump start on living as God's people, we've got homework. I know how much you guys love homework. And as I told everybody already that I talked to, the homework starts right now because, as I've mentioned, I've already messed it up. So clean slate from everybody starting right now and go for the next week. Okay, number one, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak this week, okay? Quick to listen, slow to speak, very difficult for me. Okay, both in person and on social media. Be very purposeful about listening more, and then pause before you speak. Pause, especially if what you're thinking of speaking is not life-giving, okay? Certainly, we sometimes need to tell people hard truths, but even then, especially then, we need to speak in love, we need to speak in humility, okay? Pause, listen more, speak less. Again, some more challenging for some of us than others. Second, this is the hard part. Every day this week, speak words of life to at least three people. At least three different people. You cannot stand in front of one person and say three nice things and say, I'm done. Three different people. Encourage, compliment, and affirm those around you. Say nice things. Say nice things, okay? You can do it online. You can do it in person. But you want to be very intentional about focusing on the needs of your neighbor, the one you're talking to. What do they need to hear today? How can you be the one that makes their day by what you say? Okay, don't lie. I'm not asking you to lie. But we are all made in God's image, and you can't think of anything else nice to say. Start there. Okay, you're made in God's image. Guys, and we know this. I saw you all nodding your little heads. We have such power in our words, okay? So let's use that power for good. It's really simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. We just need to live as the people that God says we are. Amen. Yeah, well, you can clap all you want, but do your homework.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you're able to bring some of these concepts into your life. Come back next week for another episode of Faith for All. Faith for All was created by Cross of Glory Church. If you'd like more information on Cross of Glory, please visit our webpage at crossofglory.com, where you can learn more about the church, see our upcoming events, and watch previous services and sermons. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Everyone, and we do mean everyone, is welcome to join us at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning for worship on our website, Facebook, YouTube, or in person at 14719 West 163rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends, family, and anyone else you can think of about it. Faith for All is available on Podbean, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find podcasts. Todd Mazera created our original music. John Uzzardo engineered the sound. Jeff Wanderson handled the production duties. And I'm your friend and humble announcer, Andrew Morin. Thank you for joining us.